Hello, my dear curious friend, and welcome to another episode of the Curious Pavel podcast sessions. Today, we're traveling to lovely Spain, and more specifically, Granada, a city in the beautiful region of Andalusia, and I'm meeting you with a tour guide from that area. Very excited to share what's in this episode. So, without further ado, let's go to the episode, and I want to introduce you to Molly. Hello, Molly. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. How are you doing today?
Hello. I'm so happy to be speaking to you from Granada in Spain.
Yes, you are in Granada, and that is the place we're going to be talking about. I'm really excited to learn more about Granada. I have been to Malaga and Sevilla. I really heard really nice things about Granada and Cordoba, but I didn't have the time to get there. So it'll be really interesting for me. I mean, Andalusia is a great region. Straight away, when I went to Sevilla, I was like, you know, I thought Barcelona was my favorite city, but when I went to Sevilla, I was like, So I really loved it. Before, you told me you live for 20 years in Granada. Is that true?
20 years in Spain. And first I lived in Barcelona for 8 years. And then the rest of the time, which is like 14 years or so, I've been in Granada.
Okay.
It doesn't add up. It's more than 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I was just doing the math in my head. I was like, okay, I understand. So that's really interesting. So first of all, as I told you, Barcelona was my favorite city before I went to Sevilla. Barcelona is still at the top. But you said you're from Nottingham, from UK. Before we go to Granada, can you just tell us a bit more about yourself? Like, why did you decide to move to Spain? Why Barcelona? Why did you leave Barcelona? And what are you doing? What did you do before? You know, short bio of yourself.
Wow, so many questions. Okay, so I was in the UK, in Nottingham. I studied in the UK. We usually, well, when I was in education, the first language that you learned was French, or some schools had German. It was just, you were English and you did English stuff. And then when they gave you a language, it was normally French or German, depending on your school. And in my school, it was French. And I seemed to be good, naturally good at languages. And they wanted me to give a second language, which normally would have been German. But that year, the German teacher was ill and I got a Spanish teacher. So it's just a fluke. Already, that's a fluke. And I really loved Spanish because it seemed to be much more simple, much simpler than French. Because it was more, once you'd learned the pronunciation, you could kind of say anything, whereas French was a bit more, it was a bit more hard work. Mm. So I was learning Spanish at school. And then I got offered to go on a Spanish exchange, you know, where you go to the whole school, like there's a school bus and you go to a Spanish school and then that school comes over. Well, I met a girl there in Barcelona, well, in the region of Barcelona, in a small place called Olesa de Montserrat. And we got on very, very well. And so every year I went to her house and she came to my house.
Okay.
Not to do with the school, just by her own, we're like pen pals and friends and that. Uh-huh. And that has continued. Like now, I'm still her friend, like all these years on. That was when I was 12 years old. Wow. So that's one of the main reasons why I ended up in Barcelona, because I was in touch with this girl who I went to spend summer with her family. She would spend time in my family, with my family in Nottingham and all of that. So when I got older and I was working, I wanted to use Spanish for a job, but they were like, oh, you didn't go to university, you didn't get a degree, so you can't do it. And I was like, well, I'm not having any of that. So I'm going to go to Barcelona and find a job speaking English. And that's what I did.
Yeah, in Barcelona, I would say it's probably easier because it's more touristy, while in the south, if you go there.
Well, you're saying that, but when I'm talking about this period of time, it wasn't like now in 2021. I'm talking about like 1998 when internet didn't even happen. Like there was no internet, there was no blogs, there was no getting in touch with people like you who were already there. It was a whole different landscape and nothing was easy. Like tourism wasn't even such a big deal in Barcelona at that time. It's a whole different world.
Yeah, it makes sense, to be fair, because they even, Barcelona, have a beach until the, what was it, the Olympic Games?
Yeah.
Yeah, which so year
when
was
I
that?
First visited, yeah, when I first visited Barcelona, the Olympics hadn't happened. Barcelona was a different place. I mean, majorly different, yeah.
Okay, so why did you decide to move to Granada?
Yeah, so then I moved from Barcelona down to Granada after about 8 years for two reasons. One, because I met my partner who is from Granada, and he was working in Barcelona and wanted to move where his family were, wanted to move back when he could. So that was a reason. But also on a work reason, I was working for a big company in Barcelona, and I got I applied for a promotion, and I got rejected for the promotion. And it was a very kind of controversial thing, because really I should have been given it, but they didn't want somebody who spoke good English, because the boss wasn't a good English speaker, and they didn't want somebody underneath who spoke better English.
To overshadow them.
Yeah. So I was like blocked for this promotion that I should have had. And obviously I was really annoyed. So I was like, right, I need to find a new job. And more or less all of this happened at the same time. So I started to look for a new job in Granada. Mm. And I sent my first CV off and got the first job.
Woo!
Just like by fluke. Yeah. So then that was it. It just seemed to be all kind of lined up in a row. Yeah.
And what are you doing now?
What am I doing now? I have my own company. So I'm working in tourism sector. I have a travel blog, and I have a food tour company and a luxury tour company. Lots of different projects.
Wow.
All related to tourism, food, culture, international, all that kind of thing.
Oh, nice. So that's why you mentioned that you can talk about Spanish food for quite
days
some time.
Days and days.
Okay. So let's do that in another episode where we're going to talk only about Spanish food. Okay. So what about Granada? You said tourism. So one of your companies is what? Giving tours around Granada?
So, yeah. So one of my companies is it's called Spain Food Sherpas. And this company is doing gastronomic tours in Seville, Malaga, and Granada, where we explain to visitors, usually in English, but we can do other languages like French or other languages by request, about the local food culture. So when I say local food culture, I mean like 0 mile produce, seasonal recipes, what the locals are eating in summer, what they're eating in winter, very specific to Malaga, Granada, and Seville. So it's kind of the thing that you would only find out if you had a friend there or if you went to somebody's house. It's not the typical kind of tapas tour where it's like, we're just going to give you paella and sangria until you're happy. It's not that kind of thing. It's a bit more kind of studied and a bit more... yeah, curated.
I got it. Okay, I'm already interested about the episode we're going to record about the food, but let's move to Granada, right? So Granada, south of Spain. What can you tell us? So first of all, what I'm really curious about is, so as I told you, I stayed in Sevilla and I traveled to Malaga. I didn't have time to Granada and Cordoba, but what are the most interesting sites we are able to see over there, and if you can tell me something interesting about them as well.
Sure. So Granada is in a region called Andalusia, which is occupies the whole of the southern Spain, and Granada is, most people know Granada because it's famous for the Alhambra Palace, which some people think it's a castle or a fortress, and what it is actually is a collection of palaces, fortresses, and gardens. It's a group of buildings, a citadel, that's sitting perched upon a hill above the city. And it's been built over different periods in history. So some of the oldest buildings are from the 10th century, So that's over 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And then some of the more modern buildings are from the 19th century. So it's kind of like a painter's canvas that's been adapted over the centuries according to who's ruling and what's going on and the architectural styles. So you can already see here a mishmash of kind of different building styles. You can just see it here on this skyline. And behind it, you can see there's the Sierra Nevada Mountains. So that mountain peak is the highest in the Iberian Peninsula, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Mulhacén, that's the highest mountain. So you've got this amazing kind of viewpoint here with the Alhambra and the mountains behind and all this forest and trees. And it doesn't even seem like a city. I mean, this is really in the middle of the city. So it's quite it's like a dreamlike landscape.
Wait, hold on, did you say this, you know, place, it's not a fortress, as I said. Is this in the middle of Granada?
Is that literally.
What? But I don't see, just around it, I see only trees and greenery and mountains.
Yeah, because Granada is like a city that, well, you've got the Alhambra is on one hill, the Albaicin, which is what you're seeing here on the photo, all these white houses, that's part of the Albaicin, and then at the back is kind of the modern city. But there you go. If you walk in the city centre, like where the town hall is, you can see the Alhambra right pretty close. Yeah, it's in the city.
I see. Okay, so that you would say will be the top attraction. You know, people should go and check this out first, in a way.
The main attraction, the main reason people come to Granada usually is to see the Alhambra Palace. And sadly, some people just come to the Alhambra car park, visit the monument and leave and don't actually step into the city. And then they will miss a lot of things that are worthwhile. Granada has UNESCO World Heritage Sites, two. One is the Alhambra, and the other is the Albaicin, which is the old quarter, which is opposite the Albaicin. So it's a whitewashed houses, cobbled streets, lots of brightly coloured plant pots, very narrow. Even some streets are steps. They're not a street, it's a step, because they're on a hillside. So Granada is two hills, and between the hills is a river, and around the river is where the modern city had to expand, which is on the flat. So you've got these two amazing monuments, which are UNESCO, on the hills, and then down on the flat part is all the kind of the modern stuff, where we live and where the shops are and where everything, kind of the downtown where everything happens.
Okay. Is there anything interesting or curious about the palaces that comes to your mind?
Well, the palaces, I mean, yeah, everything and everything. I mean, the palaces are one of the best examples of Muslim architecture outside of kind of Arabic countries. And one thing that really kind of catches my imagination and my attention every time is all of the water inside of this monument. Because here in Granada, we've got this very strange kind of climate, well, strange, dramatic climate is a better word. It's either roasting furnace hot or it's freezing cold. There's nothing in the middle. We don't have spring. We don't have autumn. It's just winter or it's summer. Autumn lasts for about 5 minutes. It's like 2 days. And spring is the same. So I have a really beautiful trench coat, which is ideal for spring in Spain, but I think I wear it one day of the year.
Oh, dear.
We go from like a fleece jumper to T-shirt. It's just... So the water is important in the Alhambra because the people who were coming from Africa, Persia, Iran, all of that area, places which were extremely hot and extremely dry, to come to this place that was so lush in vegetation and had all of this water, which is coming from Sierra Nevada mountains, all this natural spring water. They created this special channels and irrigation system so that the water would come down from the mountain into the Alhambra, which is why you have so many pools, fountains, channels, underwater systems to keep water. And it's what makes this, to me, it's what makes the Alhambra become alive, because then you've got animals in the Alhambra, beautiful rose gardens, fruit trees. It gives the life to the palace. If the Alhambra wasn't where it is, it wouldn't have this, yeah, this magical quality with the water, the plants, the flowers, the fragrance, all of that. Quite incredible.
Okay, I understand. That is really, really interesting. You said that people just go, you know, visit the car park, probably go inside the palace and that's it. And that's really what makes me sad, because most people, this is the way most people travel. I wouldn't say most people, but many people travel. They just go somewhere, pick a magnet from the place, and it's like, here you go. I visit Granada because I have a magnet on my fridge. I'm like, no. So excluding this, which, you know, most people come for, to see in Granada, what else we can see over there?
The thing is with Granada, it's a very special city, because it's somehow quite untouched by tourism, because people come from places like Malaga, Seville, or even Madrid, like on a day trip to Granada. It's kind of the infrastructure is set up in such a way where a lot of people come just during the day and then they leave, and they're not spending a lot of nights in the hotel here. And because of that, it makes the city keep its character. So it's very Spanish city. It's not, even though we have tourism coming through, it's not affecting too much. Like, for example, Barcelona or Malaga have had lots of cruise ship tourism, a lot of Airbnb, a huge volume of Airbnb, long stays, things like that. And that in the end affects the infrastructure of the city and what kind of businesses are on the corner. Now you've got like 5 Starbucks instead of more local bars. Here in Granada, that's not happened so much as it has happened in other cities. So when you come to Granada, it still feels very Spanish. Many, many places you go, nobody speaks English. The menu might not be in English. And I think this is a good thing. Because when you come here, you feel that you're abroad. You feel that you're in Spain. You don't feel that you're in, I don't know, just another generic European city where we've got all the same shops and all the same restaurants. So I think that's a really nice thing about Granada. And there are certain things that I think you can't see them in any other places. For example, the sunset in Granada is just absolutely incredible. So it doesn't matter which part of the year you're in Granada, like if you come in wintertime or in summertime, it doesn't really matter. If you go up to a viewpoint called Mirador de San Nicolás, or that's the most famous one, but there are other miradors, like viewpoint places around the Albaicin quarter, and you look at the sunset over the city with the mountains in the background with the Alhambra, it's absolutely stunning. Bill Clinton said it was the most beautiful sunset in the world when he came on his visit. And it's a yeah, and it's for free. I mean, a lot of people go to this viewing point that we're seeing here, and they have maybe a beer or some kind of snacks, and they're just sitting watching the sun go down, sitting talking on the wall, having a chat and sit and enjoying the view. And that for me, these things are kind of It's not a monument. It's not. It's just part of the city life.
Wow. Yeah, that is something special, and it's good to know that you can see it in every, no matter when you go, you can still see that, which is great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's. I also think that's a good idea. That's a good thing that it's not so touristy. I think at some point that's gonna change, but you know, if it's still going that way, I think also it's a good thing. Okay, so
yeah, we do have a lot of tourism, but the tourism is kind of very concentrated. Like, there's a lot of demand on the weekends. There's a lot of demand when it's a holiday, like a holiday period, bank holiday period, things like that. But if you came on a Tuesday in May,
especially
you wouldn't
in the evening, especially in the evening.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, I think that's a good thing. Okay, what else then? What else we can see? Where we can spend our time in Granada?
So, maybe one more thing. Yeah, so Granada, there are great things for families to do. Granada's like generally in southern Spain, very family orientated. So people who have children, young children, or older children. It's really welcoming and it's not very inclusive. So the children are just part of the family and the family are welcome everywhere. So one of the best things in Granada, there's a place called the Science Museum, and it's a huge museum. I don't know how many thousands of square meters it has just off the top of my head, but it's massive. And inside there, I think it's really handy to know, especially when it's hot weather, because the hot weather can really tire you, especially when it's okay one day or maybe 2 days, but if you're here for, you know, 4 or 5 days, it can really kind of grind you down. Mm. And the Science Park Museum is a very large building with great air conditioning. And then they've got like these water things on the outside for children to play with and things like that. And I just think it's a good resource to have kind of in your head if you want a day kind of cool down. And the Science Park Museum also has like a butterfly garden, and then it has this observation tower. It's a really good day out, even if you haven't got children. I mean, I've been there a load of times. Then we've got other things in Granada, like the cathedral is really kind of oh, here we go. This is the Science Park Museum with the giant ants on the observation tower. Yeah, you've got some great views from there as well. There's like 360 view from there. And they're always doing like different like exhibitions. So each time I go, there's different things on. At the moment, they've got some kind of like biopark with animals like lemurs and things like that. But yeah, it's an amazing Science Park. But it's one of these places where you can touch things and interact, and it's not just kind of like a boring, stagnant kind of museum where you go and look at things. You can actually do. Yeah.
That's nice.
Really, really good. But I think that's a good, either on a rainy day, if it's a bad weather day, rainy or cold day, it's really good because you can just be there for hours.
Mm.
And then the cathedral in Granada is one of the largest in Spain. And it's extremely impressive, but something that's kind of, I mean, every Spanish city has an impressive cathedral.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
That's just standard. It's just standard, but Granada Cathedral, when you walk in through the door, I mean, the visual impact is very powerful. It's very, very high and white and kind of, it's just this wow moment when you walk through the door. But on the side of the cathedral, in the site, almost in the same complex, is the Royal Chapel. And the Royal Chapel is where the kings, Fernando and Isabel, the Catholic kings, are buried. And their bodies are actually there. You can see the coffins, which are in a kind of crypt underground. Yeah, this is the top of the monument, shall we say, but if you can go in these little steps underground and you can see the coffins. And these people, the Catholic kings, basically changed politically and the history of Spain forever, because they united Castile and Aragon and formed basis of modern Spain. So these historically in Spanish history and even European history were really, really important figures, and they're buried in Granada. And this is the Royal Chapel. It's a whole building which was designed just for their burial, not for anything else.
Wow. So hold on. Okay. I know that Spain was four regions, was it? Castile, Navarra.
Yes.
Aragon. Aragon.
Yes.
What was the fourth one?
I don't know, but I think there may be more. I don't know. But
I thought there were four. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
So these guys, they united.
The thing is, Isabel was the Queen of Castile, and Ferdinand was the King of Portugal and Aragon, and they got married. So they unified two very powerful kingdoms. But then in that time, then afterwards, they were fighting the Moorish rulers in southern Spain, which was Andalusia, the Kingdom of Al-Andalus. They were fighting. It was this Christian and Muslim religious battle, and they conquested Al-Andalus from the Muslim rulers. And the last place that they conquested was Granada, which is why Granada is such an important location in history, because it was the last bastion of Muslim rule in Spain. And that's why the Alhambra is also so important.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. I'll assume maybe we can move to a place that we can eat. Are we okay with things to see?
Well, yes, there are more things to see, but I mean, there is lots of museums. There's lots of really beautiful squares, especially I haven't mentioned the squares.
Which one is your favorite square?
Oh, my goodness. What a question. Say Bib Rambler.
Okay, so, tell me about it.
Yeah. Plaza Bib Rambler, it used to be a square that was, it would have had an archway on one side, which was the entrance into the city, which is no longer there anymore. But this square used to have bullfights. It used to have public punishments, you know, where if somebody had been stealing, they might cut off the hand or the ear. I mean, I'm talking medieval Granada. And it's always been this kind of center point, like a social kind of hub. And it's still like that now. If there's anything going on Christmas, there's normally a market on there. On a weekend, there might be kind of a merry-go-round or some children's activities. It's just got something special, this square, that's kind of like a magnet that draws everybody there. It's very central, but it's very, I don't know, it's just very welcoming. It's a very nice place to be. There's lots of terraces, lots of places to eat, especially churros and chocolate. The dipping, the doughy, fried doughy treats that we dip into hot chocolate. That's always good on a rainy day in Spain. Not that it rains very much, but the day it rains, everybody is out for churros. So Bib Rambla Square, I don't know, that's the kind of place that Granada is. It's just the kind of place that you want to walk around aimlessly without any timetable and just see where your feet take you, rather than going, we're going to see this, we're going to do that. It's just a nice place to just kind of wander and be. Yeah,
it's a city with a good vibe.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Got it. Okay, before we go, and I don't want to really talk about food because I want to do that as a separate episode, but what's your favorite place to eat out?
Oh my goodness, that's another very loaded question.
I really like to get these difficult questions. I know, it's like I'm asking you which one is your favorite child. I understand it's difficult.
Yeah, it's practically impossible. But, well, I'm not going to answer your question because I really genuinely don't know the answer, because it depends on every day, my mood.
What you want to eat.
Okay. How hungry I am, what time of, I don't know, who I'm with, lots of things. But one thing I say is, famous in Granada are the tapas, because in Granada is one of the few places that when you ask for a drink, you get a free tapa with included in the price of the drink.
I like it.
Right. So this is something also very well known about Granada. One of the main busiest streets for tapas is called the Calle Navas. And that's just coming from the town hall of Granada. It's the street that's coming from the town hall, so Calle Navas. And it's basically just tapa bar after tapa bar along the long street. And people sitting outside, having a drink, having some tapas. And yeah, very busy. Even now, I mean, even now we're in social distancing and things like that. There's enough space, but it's still busy. I walked down there today and I had to kind of wait until people came by. It was busy. It's a nice vibe. You're right in the city centre, you're sitting out, you're having maybe a Spanish omelette or some fried fish or, yeah, there you go, Calle Navas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this street is really easy to get busy because it's quite a narrow street. Plus, on both sides, you have tables.
Right, that's so it. Very easy. So there's no room. If you're just a normal person like me doing your life and you have to walk down this street, you don't really fit. So if somebody comes the other way and I want to be kind of keeping my distance, you have to wait. And that's what happened this morning.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I mean, it's really looks really, really appealing, especially if they give you tapas with the drink that you order. I mean, it's really dragging me to go and get some fear of Granada and Cordoba. But that was great. Okay, I think before we finish this episode, is there something that you think that we missed but we really need to mention about Granada?
No, well, the big things are the tapas culture, the Albaicin and Alhambra UNESCO monuments, and the sunset and the Sierra Nevada. They're the biggest.
So we covered them. That was great. That was great. Perfect. Thanks so much, Molly. I'm really looking forward to get around one more time and record an episode about food, Spanish food. And that's a wrap for yet another travel episode. Thank you so much for listening to the whole thing. If you have listened that on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. That will mean a lot to me. Also, if you have a friend, a cousin, or a teacher, or anybody else who you think will be suitable for this series, please connect us and let's make this happen. Thanks so much once again. I wish you a fantastic day.